I now want to spend the next two sections talking about the nature of a sacrament, and more precisely, the nature of baptism. This is very important because, you see, in our poor world we are so divorced that nothing really means a lot in the area of human gesture. We get excited, you know, when the lady cracks the bottle over the bow of the ship. I now, you know, christen you HMS Pinafore or whatever. But are we really excited? Do we really think something happened? That boat's different because it has a name? What about then I baptize you? You know? Arena, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're different. You're different. And it's about that that I want to talk. Leoncius, Origen's father, used to pick him up when he was an infant and kiss his chest, saying, at least we know the Holy Spirit's here. He's a baby. Holy Spirit's in him. Isn't that lovely? He's a little sanctuary. Faith. See, faith is not habit or singing along with Mitch. It's a life-changing experience. That's what it is, as we're going to hear about when we get into this text. Okay. First, the church itself is a sacrament. This is a quote from the document on the church. Since the church is in Christ like a sacrament, or a sign, an instrument, both of a very closely knit union with God and of the unity of the whole human race, this church desires now to unfold more fully to the faithful of the church and to the whole world its own inner nature and universal mission. This is the very first paragraph of the document on the church. We've got to tell you what we are. We're a sacrament. We bring Christ into the world, and if your heart is open, it's yours. We're a sacrament. We reveal Christ, huh? Christ having been lifted, this is number 48 for those who are interested. Christ having been lifted up from the earth has drawn all to himself. He does that because in that act of love in which he died, he's an infinitely attractive magnet. That's why we're baptized into his death, so that we can live his risen life. Okay. Rising from the dead, he sent his life-giving Spirit upon his disciples, and through him, Holy Spirit, has established his body, which is the church, as a universal sacrament of salvation. It manifests it, and it causes it. That was a beautiful document and notion of the church in Vatican II. I want to say some other things about a sacrament. One is, that is a symbol. Now for us, you know, we have so many symbols, they don't mean anything, right? I mean, every time you turn on the radio or the TV, especially the TV, symbol after symbol after symbol, meaning nothing. This is a definition of symbol given by a man by the name of Gilbert Durand, who wrote a whole book on the on symbol. The symbol is the epiphany of a present reality. It's the manifestation of something present. I baptize you in the name of the Father. The act of the Trinity is manifested through matter, the water and the priest's voice. Now, there's another one he gives, two lines later. The symbol is, by the very nature of the signified, something inaccessible. We need a symbol because we don't have direct access to the symbolized. It is an epiphany, that is, an appearance by and in the signifier of the inexpressible. Isn't that beautiful? See, sacraments are symbols. And one symbol is not only mediates, it contains. This is my body, this is my blood. That's a real symbol. Because it is his body and it is his blood. Okay. Now, I'm going to just pick up a few quotes before I move on to look at baptism. This is from Henri de Lubac's Splendor of the Church. That which is sacramental, and he's a quote, the sensible bond between two worlds. What a beautiful way to put it, right? Sacraments are the sensible bond between two ineffable worlds, God and the human spirit. Do we think like this? No, we all go to Mass, blah, 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 go home, nothing happens. What's wrong? No faith. We'd have more faith if we prayed every day. If we really gave our hearts to God and said, you know, you're the most important thing in my life. Since on the one hand it is the sign of something else, it must be passed through. In this, not in part, but wholly. You've got to go right through baptism to the divine life. Signs are not things to be stopped at, for they are in themselves valueless. It's only water. By definition, a sign is something translucent which dissolves from before the face of what it manifests. Is that okay? Do you understand that? You see? When your eyes of faith are open, like these little kids who are watching, see? You go right through the sacrament, the water, the words, and you see the divine life. Not CC, but CC. Okay. You see, Christ is in that sense a sacrament. If you see me, you see the Father. That means we got to really see him. That's part of the sacramental economy, okay? Now, I want to talk for a while on the experiential nature of the grace of baptism. Now, this, of course, is a challenge, because most of us are baptized when we're 3 weeks, 5 weeks old. And so the experiential nature of baptism is not very marked in us. There's not a consciousness, or, but it's still there. And so the whole purpose of real catechesis, you see, is to bring people so that the Spirit who was given to them at baptism manifests himself, which is the baptism in the Spirit. This is a text from Pope Benedict. The Acts of the Apostles present Pentecost as the fulfillment of this promise, the one that Jesus just made, and hence as the culmination of Jesus' entire mission. The mission is completed by the Spirit, right? After his resurrection, he ordered the disciples to stay in Jerusalem because, he said, before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he added, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Thus Pentecost is in a special way the baptism of the Church, which carries out her universal mission, starting from the roads of Jerusalem and going out. In this baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's not afraid to use the term, in this baptism of the Holy Spirit, the personal and the community dimension, the I of the disciple and the we of the Church, are inseparable. That's what it means to be part of the Church. The Holy Spirit consecrates the person and at the same time makes him or her a living member of the mystical body of Christ. A member, physical member. Sharing in the mission of witnessing to his love, and this takes place through the sacraments of Christian initiation, which is baptism and confirmation. All this happens there. Something happened. Christ acts. If you have a mystic at a baptism, they go into ecstasy. They can see with their spirit what's going on. This is the Pope. I have proposed to the young people at the World Youth Day of 2008 that they rediscover. It's re if it's been discovered. Otherwise, it's discovered. But it's there. The presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And thus, the importance of these sacraments. Now, here's the punchline. Today, he's saying this to the whole church at the Regina Caeli of 2008 on Pentecost. Today, I would like to extend the invitation to all. Let us rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let us recover, and this is his definition, awareness of our baptism and our confirmation, ever timely sources of grace. I'm baptized. But until I'm aware of it, this is the greatest pastoral problem in the church today. Bringing people to an experiential knowledge of their baptism. Know you're baptized. Experience the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Know Jesus Christ and love him personally. That's Sunday golfer faith. That's not just mystic, that's anybody. That's the power of the sacrament. Now, I have tons of quotes here, and I'm not going to get through them all. But I'm going to give you some. This is from a man by the name of Lainhart, who's not a Catholic. This death of all which Paul had in mind was only virtual. It resided only in the compassion and intention of God. It was the grace which the sacrifice of the cross was to bring into operation. The rite, this is not a Catholic, the rite of baptism makes this grace actual and efficacious for those who submit themselves to it. I can only read a few of these. Through Christ's passion, however, we are delivered not only from the sin of the entire human race, both as regards the sin and the debt, but also from our own sin, provided we share in his passion by faith, love, and the sacraments of faith. How does that work? He died. How does it profit me? Because, as St. Augustine says, and Aquinas quotes him, the head and members form one mystical person. And I enter into that personhood through baptism. Now, if I'm baptized as an infant, somebody has got to awaken it in me, and so that the sacrament revivifies. Okay, now, I'm going to look for this other quote. Hang on. Oh, I've got to give you this one. What I tell you what I'll do, I'll give you that one after the break. This is Dodd, also not a Catholic. In order to understand the argument here, we must bear in mind the teaching of the chapter before. Christ is the inclusive representative of the people of God. As natural humanity, which may be regarded as a corporate personality, in Adam, its inclusive representative. So what happened to him happened to us. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back to this experiential nature of baptism.